The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Hello there, the angel from my nightmares. Welcome to Pro Wrestling Unscripted here on the Podzilla 1985 Network.
Don't waste your time on me.
I don't like where this is going.
My name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host tonight for PW. It's another week of wrestling action. I'm also Mr. 100. Down at the end of the table, that's five-star Mayonnaise to Gray.
All five.
We got Allie, not actually a fan of music, to my right.
That's not true.
And we'll explain it why here in a second. And the Big D, Dalton Anthony.
Let me just say that Mark Hoppus is the better singer of Blink-182 because he's still in Blink-182.
Well, yeah, because while he's making shitty music, Tom DeLonge is breaking government secrets.
But that's not the question.
And it's great that he's on the third page of CNN. Congratulations, buddy.
But the first page of Fox News.
Ooh, good company.
So here's what...
is he above or below why Sean Spicer was robbed on Dancing with the Stars?
Oh, clearly they don't have Jesus in their heart was the answer I got.
Yeah, neither
story.
Do Tom DeLonge fans.
All right, we're done with the Blink-182.
No, because I have to mention that there is a poll on Podzilla 1985.
Facebook.com/Podzilla1985.
Thank you. Who is the better
Blink-182
singer?
Unless you're going to vote for Tom DeLonge, then yeah, just Podzilla 1985.
Well, of course you're going to vote for Tom DeLonge because our listeners are smart.
And let me just say, anytime I've heard his voice start up with a song, I have attempted to stab my own ears out.
And I wish you had done that. And I wish you had taken that advice. But for the rest of us who enjoy great music, and that's why Angels and Airwaves is also really good.
Oh, you are a... But I'm not as, swearing tonight.
But
I'm
not as good as Plus 44.
No, it's Plus 44 is the best.
It, really?
This is a wrestling podcast.
Yeah. It is.
Where we also talk about the superiority of Plus 44.
I'm trying so hard to think of anything that could tie Blink-182 to wrestling, and I can't.
I can. Ooh, pick me. Yeah, pick me. Pick me. Remember when Enzo and Joey Janela almost got into a fist fight at a Blink-182 concert?
There it was.
Full circle.
Speaking of Joey Janela and Enzo...
That's not the top story.
Dang it.
We'll get to that. So welcome to PW. But yeah. No. Go vote on that. Go on.
Remark.
And we literally want to know who you think is the better singer. Don't listen to literally everyone else on the podcast.
Except for you.
And Lindsay.
Oh,
because of
okay.
course Lindsay would vote for me.
She doesn't pay attention to stuff.
She doesn't. Lindsay would vote for me.
She doesn't. Yeah, she doesn't know who either of them are. She doesn't. Which one am I supposed
no,
to
she
vote
loves
for?
No, she really likes Blink-182. And I think for the longest time, I didn't know Blink-182 had two singers. I thought Tom DeLonge did both voices. He just changed it. But now as an adult listening to
that
him,
would
like,
involve him being that would involve him being talented.
Well, I mean, again... Angels and Airwaves is better than Plus 44, too.
It's not. Oh,
no, just because they made
which car commercial is Plus 44 in?
That doesn't...
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, it just means Mark Hoppus didn't sell out.
You don't have anything to say there, no. Bandana boy?
No, yeah, I did.
You're not wearing a bandana.
Are you Bandana Boy or is that me?
No, I don't want to wear that. Never mind.
No, it's right here.
All right, it's 10 minutes into the podcast at this point.
No, it's not. It's like five.
It's like two and a half. But still.
There it is.
But it feels like an hour.
It felt like an eternity. All right, let's talk about pro wrestling. Go vote on that. We're going to reveal the answer tomorrow in After Dark. And I swear to God, if Tom DeLonge wins, you will never hear the end of it.
We've been having this argument for 3 years.
Yeah, but now it'll be final. However, if Tom DeLonge loses, I never want to speak of it.
We will never speak of it again.
Just like Pineapple Pizza when it won. Oh, I still haven't forgotten.
Nah, I was pretty salty about that one.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I'm pretty sure I'm undefeated on Facebook polls.
Shut up.
All right, we're going to get to the news, but really quick, because this is related to Bobby Clubs, who is the ring announcer for CCW. Did you see his post about the candy corn pizza?
I thought that was Caleb Carter.
It may have been Caleb Carter. It was Caleb Carter. Shit. Well, Caleb Carter also part of CCW, so it still counts. Allie, I tagged you in it. It's a pizza covered in candy corn.
Why?
Because the world's terrible. The world's a terrible place. The world gave us.
I don't think I know why you tagged me.
because I said something about like, oh look, it's like the pizza version of Mark Hoppus. So.
God.
Let's talk about wrestling. WWE 2K and leukemia. You can't shit talk me now because I've already mentioned it. Leukemia. WWE 2K and the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society team up for a fundraiser. Asa, please tell us this great news.
So this is, if you go to the WWE 2K Twitter, they are doing a fundraiser now where there is a specific tweet where they, you know, Roman is one of the cover athletes after, you know, following his fight with leukemia, that if you retweet that specific tweet, they will donate $2. All you have to do, and I know we don't have great engagement on the podcast. And if you go by the first 5 minutes of this podcast, I get it. But, you know, we're not asking for, you know, to follow us or to interact with us. just go to the WWE 2K Twitter account.
At WWE Games. It's the pinned tweet.
It is the pinned tweet. All you have to do is retweet it, and it will donate $2 up to $500,000. So 250,000 people retweet that. They reach their goal. They reach their max donation. I think that would be great. This is literally the bare minimum, easiest thing you can do. You don't have to sign up for anything. You don't have to, you know, it's all you have to do is log in, put one thing on your Twitter feed, and let it go, and you're donating to a really good cause.
I'm going
to
go do that right now before I forget, because I am on Twitter, believe it or not, at...
I even linked it to everybody in the group chat and said, hey, if you have a Twitter, go retweet this.
At PZ85, Mr. 100, I believe. Let me check this out real quick.
But, and so, it's a good cause, and it's I really like that they're doing this. I did it earlier this week. If you're on my Twitter feed, you can probably find it, or just go to WWE Games.
At WWE Games. It is, like I said, the pinned tweet.
Yeah, it's the very top tweet.
It's the first one you see.
So
I just shared it on Facebook.
I just think that's super cool that they're doing that, and it is a chance to raise.
So what does that have to do here? Just retweet it?
Yeah, all you have to do is retweet it.
Okay.
Like, you don't even have to caption it. You don't have to write anything out. All you have to do is just base retweet. And
which right now they're over $16,000, which is awesome.
Yeah. So but it's a long way to go to the 500,000 cap. But so... If we could have any sort of even influence on getting that up there, that would be awesome.
Also, I'm not going to say this on the air because it would be completely inappropriate, but do you want to pass this to Asa because you might find this interesting?
Yeah, I saw that too. That's the one that keeps popping up.
Huh. I'm not familiar with the name. But
I'm not either, but I kind of, Anyway, so, yeah, go do that. That's very, very important. Like you said, it's kind of the bare minimum. If you've ever want to do something good, but you don't want to put a lot of effort into it, this is for you.
Yeah, this is
for you. This is for everybody.
This is the easiest thing that you can do.
Another super awesome thing that's coming up is the Zack Ryder and Kurt
Major
Hawkins.
Brothers Wrestle Figure Podcast.
No, that's still wrong.
I don't know.
The Major Wrestle Figure Podcast.
I also don't listen to it.
Yeah, but they're doing
to it every day. You listen to three episodes a day.
Heck yeah.
And you still don't know it.
Exactly.
It's dumb.
They're doing the...
This is dumb.
I like Jim Cornette.
Tom DeLonge's voice.
So I was about to plug something there.
Look at me all hurt when you throw that out there. Was it in the script?
You said you understand him.
Not
better.
In this version.
We're friends now.
They're doing their toy drive again this year.
Mm-hmm. Hey,
they're gearing
up.
They're gearing up for it.
What sucks about that though is that they just take the toys and keep them.
No, they don't.
They're tricking everybody.
It's a trick. I got this super cool Macho Man.
No, it's mine.
You
turns
okay?
out it's a canned food drive.
I hate you. I was like literally like trying to be a good human.
That was savage.
You're trying to be mad. What are the details on it, or have they announced it yet?
They just announced they're going to do it, so I will keep everybody updated on that because I'm a big fan of Toys for Tots.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that who it's through?
Yeah, that's who they do it. So like they'll do it through like Ringside and stuff like that. I'll give more details out as they give details out, but I think I want as many people on that because they got so many toys last year for that.
I usually do donate to Toys. I try to donate to Toys for Tots.
Huntsberger.
I try.
Huntsberger did it for Stride last year, so I was actually able to physically
donate.
Yeah.
It was very cool.
Yeah.
That's all good.
So that's the good stuff for this week.
Well, speaking of, this is kind of good too. This is kind of good too. And it's going to start not good, but I think it ends good.
Ish.
Because, well, and explain why. Hear me out. Hear me out.
All right,
let me explain why. So there was an incident over the weekend with Big Cass. We really debated whether or not we were going to talk about this on show. And by really debated, we had a conversation, a small conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, there wasn't a debate. It was like, hey, are we going to talk about, is this something we want to talk about?
Yeah.
Yes, I think so. Okay.
Yeah, that was the debate.
That is debate. That was debate for us, but until Mark Hoppus joined the group.
I hate you.
All the way, we're changing the name of the Thursday show to the Mark Hoppus Dick Sucking Hour, apparently.
I would join that hour.
I know you would. Anyway, serious time. We'll stop. We're going to cut that off.
Oh my God, just get to it.
Big Cass.
There
was an incident over the weekend, I believe it was over the weekend, and it was at WrestlePro, right?
Yes.
Where we don't have all the details, honestly, other than the fact that Big Cass got into an altercation with Joey Janela. He got into a confrontation with Pat Buck.
He threatened Joey Janela and got into an actual altercation with Pat Buck. So what happened was he was an unadvertised... He was making an unadvertised appearance.
Right.
Is the words I'm trying to say. He was backstage and he began acting very, very aggressive. And like, I think the quote was aggressive and erratic.
Yeah.
Because I think it was Mike Johnson. It was PW Insider that got like the full breakdown allegedly of what happened. He was accusing people of stealing his sweater because he couldn't find something in his bag. So he was accusing a lot of people of stealing them. He apparently confronted Joey Janela and threatened to kill him. in part because of what happened with Enzo.
Yeah.
You know, what, months ago at this point, weeks ago at least?
It was about a month or two ago, yeah.
And then whenever he was, like, pulled aside, they actually had to, like, remove him from the general dressing room because he was being so aggressive and, like, things were kind of getting out of control.
Yeah.
And then when people tried to talk to him, he just was, like, losing his cool. And this ended in, apparently, Pat Buck, who, this was his going away show. This was his farewell show because he has signed on with, he signed on as a producer for WWE.
Yeah, yeah.
And it ended with apparently Pat Buck taking down Cass and restraining him. Eventually, the police were called, and they didn't arrest. Like, so there was a report that he was arrested, but he was never actually arrested. He was just detained.
Yeah.
But it was so apparently he was also making some alarming comments regarding. We don't know what those were, but he had made some comments that required an ambulance to come. So you can kind of, given his history, you can kind of infer
what
the type of things
been.
That he could have been saying potentially. And so part of why this is so weird is he was on a show with Joey Janela literally the night before.
Yeah.
Like they shared a locker room the night before.
Yeah.
And everything was cool. Joey Janela is like, I'm not going to comment it on it other than it was really weird. And I don't know what happened between then and, you know, between what happened in a day. But, you know, I hope he's good and I hope he gets the help that he needs.
Enzo made an Instagram post that. He spoke for like
he made
a letter
like,
from
yeah,
he had a letter from Cass yeah
and it, I actually have that here.
Okay, thank you, because I just remembered that I remember that part of this story.
So what Cass basically wrote is, I have been very honest with my past struggles. It has been an ongoing battle. Saturday night I let my demons get the better of me and I ruined an important night for a really great guy and an unfortunate series of events. I have worked incredibly hard to get where I am and even harder to overcome my ongoing battle with depression, but I will work my absolute hardest to fight the wrongs of Saturday night, and I apologize to Kevin Matthews, Pat Buck, Joey Janela, the entire WrestlePro locker room, and all parties involved from the bottom of my heart. I'm getting help from family and friends as we speak, and we'll be getting professional help in the near future, and ask all to please respect my privacy in the meantime. And the reason I said this is kind of good is because normally when you have a situation like this, it gets super ugly super quick, and it usually stays ugly.
Yeah.
In this particular instance, though, Big Cass owned up to it. He apologized, which was big on him. I mean, he looked bad anyway.
He also did eventually put out his own statement, like through his own channels. And you cut off like what right on what I think is the most important line of that, because that wasn't the full.
I'm looking at a different thing that only screenshotted and it cut off the bottom, so okay. I don't see it.
The next line is, and the rest of it, but I'll read the whole thing. But the next line is the one that I really want to hit on. When and if I reemerge as a public figure, it will be in good faith, and I hope to inspire those who struggle with the same mental health issues I do to seek the help they need. If Tyson Fury can do it, so can I. Remember, I ain't dead yet, and neither are you. Peace and love, William Patrick Morrissey III. It's that when and if I reemerge as a public figure, I think that is probably the best take you can have right now.
Yeah.
Because, man, being a pro wrestler, being in the public eye, traveling like this, that like it requires, that is hard on a healthy human. That is hard on someone who doesn't have these issues that Cass is clearly dealing with.
Yeah.
And I think that for him to even recognize that it isn't a guarantee of just like, okay, I'll take some time away and then I'll just come back.
I'll come back healthy.
Exactly. Yeah. The fact that he's recognizing that he may not be able to come back, like he just with his mental health is so important that it may require him to step out of the limelight, to step away from being in the spotlight.
Because he put out a great video a little while back talking about his issues.
Yeah, we talked about it on the show.
Only like a month ago.
Yeah, it was very, very honest. And the reason I said that could be, this is kind of a good story, is because a lot of people would immediately jump on the opportunity to attack him because he's not really beloved by the internet wrestling community, per se.
Well, and that video did...
Did a lot for him.
Did a lot to help his image.
And in this case, it seems like the same thing. There's been a lot of goodwill pouring out from people about it, including, and the part I was trying to get to, and my favorite part, is that the booker for WrestlePro, Kevin Matthews, tweeted out, I'm all about second chances. The second Cass is good to go. I'll be the first one to happily book him on a future show. Myself and the entire WrestlePro family are all behind you and wish you all the health and happiness in the world, my friend. Can't wait to see the new improved Cass. Kick ass, bud. And Pat Buck also added, rooting for you. Us New York Jets fans can endure anything. Godspeed. And I just think that's very cool that everyone in this situation has just said, this was bad. We hope you get help, and buried it. And this is not going to continue in a he said, she said. There's no nastiness.
Right.
And I like that.
Yeah, no.
That's a positive thing.
And that's a good thing. And it is also a positive thing that, you know, he's vocalizing that he is getting help.
Right.
Yeah. Him saying that he's getting help from family and friends and will be getting professional help is the only thing that's even like remotely a little worrying, because the support of your family and friends can mean a lot. But it depends on which family and friends you're listening to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they are people who, you know, understand the severity and the seriousness of mental health and are there to, you know, like the guy who put the video together. Like, yeah. He clearly understands, like, how legit it is and how dangerous it can be. As long as you're surrounding yourself with those kind of people, that's great. But there is no true substitution for professional help from a trained medical doctor.
Yeah. I think at this point, though, he has to, if he ever wants to be taken seriously. If he ever wants to have a career in wrestling, he can't just go home for a week or two and come back and say, no, I'm good. I talked to my dad.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, and that's what this sounds like. He understands that, and he is going to be – but it's just that – and I don't mean – I'm not trying to talk down on him or be insulting in any way. It's just that I've been there. Like, and there is a stark difference between being able to talk to your friends and talking to an unbiased third party whose whole job is to help you, is to listen to you and to kind of help you get your mind right and put things in a perspective that you may not have heard. Because, you know, when you're talking to your friends and your family, yes, you will absolutely have people in your life who will be brutally honest with you and will tell you the things that you do need to hear. But you also run into the problem of if you have people who, no, it's, you know, everything's okay, it's all right, you know, just not coddling, but...
They want to reassure you.
Yeah, they want to be reassuring.
There's also professionals are trained on how to talk to you in a way that it will get through to you.
Yeah.
So that if they have to tell you something difficult, it hopefully doesn't seem aggressive.
They have bedside manner.
Yeah, they know how... to say things, they know what to say and how to say things that are supposed to get through to you with whatever you are dealing with.
Yeah.
Friends and family don't always know how to do that.
I don't talk to friends and family about my depression. I just don't. Mostly because I don't want to burden them with it, which I know isn't a good thing. So this podcast is honestly kind of my therapy because I can come on here and talk about it and not feel like anyone... I can get it off my chest and feel like people think it's entertainment, so they don't really care personally, and they don't feel like I'm bothering them. The only person that I bother with it is her, and I regret that too because it makes me feel bad because I'm just bringing her down. Captain Bring Down is what they call me. I got new t-shirts coming out.
Which is why you need to talk to a professional.
Professionals cost money.
They do.
And I don't have money.
But if you saw a lot of those shirts.
I have $15 on my bank account. For those of you that think like Big Baller Shannon over there, Big Ballin, look at him with his podcast and his fancy 2009 Chevy Cobalt that is not really running correctly. It's hard to get help. I never realized how hard it was to get help until you actually need it and you go like, but I don't have help money. I've got, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like the medical profession in America is a joke. We've talked about that. That's an old show we did with Zach about Zach Kurgis when his lung deflated.
Yeah. The Rhett and Link podcast, The Good Mythical Morning Guys, they had one where one of them took like his entire family to Scotland and his mom broke her ankle. And his comment was like socialist, medical
profession.
Yeah. Like socialism in that is amazing.
Universal healthcare.
Yeah. But like he said, like, I don't know. Anyway, universal healthcare. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, it was awesome. We went to the place. They didn't charge us. They put 2 casts on her. Literally messed up the first time. He was like, it's not sitting the way I want it. They put a new cast on her. Didn't charge us.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing.
The trip to Scotland for everybody was probably cheaper than it would have been if she'd broken her ankle in America.
Yeah.
It was someone that talked about how they were working in a different country and they were concerned about possibly finding a tumor. Mm-hmm. And they told their boss about it and said, I need to go see a doctor. And they're like, okay, take the day off. I don't need to plan this. No, just go to the doctor. Okay, I need to see this doctor, but who do I need to go to first to get my referral? Because here you have to get referrals. And no, you think you might have a tumor. The doctor will see you now.
Third door on the left.
When I went to the emergency room because of the umbilical hernia, they literally charged me $150 to sit there and then walk in and go, you have a hernia. That's it.
You should probably do something about that.
Yeah, but they also said, we're not going to do anything about it, but I just want you to know you have it. And I thought, that's $150 for you to tell me something painfully obvious. And
I haven't gotten my bill yet from the last ER trip.
Well, I was going to say, and the other thing is, when I went to go get ready to get the surgery, I paid $500, and Jesse Kimball can vouch for this, I paid $500 to go in, sit down, and the doctor to tell me like, we'll schedule it for this day and we'll get you taken care of. $500 for that. Are you kidding me? $500 to have a doctor tell me, yeah, we'll do the surgery. They didn't even do anything. They didn't check me for anything. They checked my blood pressure and it was astronomical. And they still said, yeah, that's fine. You'll probably be fine. That's not the point of the show, but I just, it's
sickening. But we hope Big Cass gets the help he needs.
There I do. Yeah, I've never been a big fan of him as an entertainer. I don't think he's bad. He just never really spoke to me.
I liked him.
I liked him with Enzo. I really did. I think Enzo and Cass, when they first went to the main roster and their NXT stuff, was fantastic.
He started showing some teeth against Daniel Bryan, and I was a fan of it. Some of it wasn't great, but some of it was pretty good. But yeah, no, it's one of those, like, at this point, it's less about the entertainer and more about the person. Yeah, sorry.
Right, absolutely. The world, I mean, wrestling will be here when he gets back.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Moving on, the September 30th Raw is now advertised as a season premiere.
Are we dealing with the draft at that point?
No, that is the week of... So that Monday is Raw. That Friday is the first episode of SmackDown on Fox.
Oh, is that the one where Brock's facing Kofi?
And so this didn't come from WWE. This came from like the actual venue.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Of now it's being listed as Brock Lesnar is being advertised for that Raw as well.
Okay.
And then this is they're advertising this as the season premiere, even though there are no seasons. There's no boy, they wish there was a season finale.
The way I think they usually do it is like they count the Raw after Mania as like a season.
See, yeah,
premiere.
That's kind of like the soft reboot. Yeah, point. But since they're going all in on this big, like to jump ahead and steal one of the headlines that's like two away, on Fox. Actually, I don't know if this is on Fox, but for the season premiere or the season premiere, the debut of SmackDown on Fox. Words, I'm good at them. They're doing a 30-minute blue carpet.
Yeah.
Before that first SmackDown.
Which is neat, I guess.
I mean, I get it for that, because this is their big premiere.
Yeah, and like, and I like that. I think that's a cool idea. And I like that they're already, even though I hate the match, I like that they are already making that first night on Fox feel like a big deal.
But in fairness, like that's only like two, three weeks away.
No, yeah.
Which
yeah,
I can't believe we're that close.
Yeah, it's almost
because my birthday is like the day before.
No one cares about your birthday.
I didn't. I care about your birthday.
Don't lie to the boy.
To Tom DeLonge.
Oh, well, then I don't care.
You have no birthday.
All right.
And if you really wanted to get me a Christmas gift, you would have choked yourself in your mother's womb.
I did. I came out with the umbilical cord around my neck.
Aww.
I came out as blue as the SmackDown logo.
And they say God never fails.
God! Damn!
Now that's what I call yikes.
Oh, 10, sir.
Anyway.
That was a good one.
I'm excited
for it. What is this
show?
What is this episode?
Look what Blake 182 has done to this family.
Oh, my God.
I blame Tom. There I cussed. There it was.
I can't believe that the NXT on USA Network premiere was tonight.
Yeah, that's tonight.
Trevor Lee's a cowboy now.
I can't believe. Wait, who is?
Trevor Lee, Cameron Grimes. Tyler texted me that one. He was like, are you watching? I was like, no, I'm recording right now. He's like, I won't tell you. I was like, no, tell me. I was thinking it was going to be something cool. And he was like, Trevor Lee's a cowboy. And I was like, well, I hate you for telling me that.
I wonder how much Vince, because Triple H say Vince doesn't really have any part in this? Or does he? I don't know.
I think Triple H kind of inferred that it was still his.
I don't think we don't have confirmation one way or the other. Because there was all the concerns that, okay, if it's going to be on network TV, then Vince is going to take a stronger interest in it.
Oh, you can bet your sweet ass he was there.
Yeah. Well, apparently he wasn't at SmackDown.
Oh, well.
So I don't know. We don't know for sure enough to say one way or the other.
Right.
But given some of the things that I've seen, I could believe that Triple H is still, you know.
I haven't seen anything from it yet. I am excited. I do want to watch it. Is it going to be on anything else? Or is it because it's on USA?
It will be on the network tomorrow night.
I might have to sign back up for that again because I kind of miss the network.
Well, some of us have it, so I'm going to be able to watch it.
Hey, let me get that.
You know how many people have that login?
Let me get that login.
Enough for me to have to text people to be like, hey, can you bounce off?
That's how my Netflix was.
You need to just reset your password and just like let two people have it.
Yeah, the good people.
I think I have three people, and it's all three people I love.
Love is a strong
word. But who do you love more?
Right. Hey, they also, speaking about that draft, they announced one for Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah, October 10th.
And this is not called a superstar shakeup. This isn't called a scramble. This is
a draft.
Yeah.
Asa, how do you feel about this? Because you have been very critical of the whole draft thing in the past. Does this change because of the fact that one's on Fox and one's on, like, Does that change anything for you?
No, not at all. Again, it's going to be how they implement it. My problem, the reason that I hate all of the superstar shakeups and the drafts is because it doesn't matter. Sheamus is drafted to SmackDown, and then 2 months later, Sheamus is on Raw randomly. Mm-hmm. They didn't even wait. They just did the stupid wild card rule.
Which they're abolishing now.
Which they're apparently getting rid of. Like, they're phasing that out. That will be, once the draft happens, it will be brand exclusive. Raw superstars on Raw, SmackDown superstars on SmackDown. And if they actually stick with it, then that's fine.
But you hate that to begin with, though, right?
I'm not a huge fan of it. In general, like, I think I've softened on my stance a little bit of that. But the reason that I hate it so much is because they never respect it. Mm-hmm. And then I also hate the whole our team's better than your team out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, we're in the middle of a blood feud, but they're red. Let's them up. I hate that. When it gets
in
the way,
it's gang warfare. Yeah. It's the Crips and the Bloods.
Yeah, I hate it.
That's all it is.
It's ignorant. I hate it.
I liked it back in like 02 to 05 when they actually really respected it.
Yeah, and that's the thing is like that respect has been long gone.
Yeah,
and because they only care about it. Like if Raw and SmackDown were taking shots at each other throughout the year, knowing that bragging rights was going to be a thing, mm-hmm. knowing that Survivor Series was going to mean something. Like something like that, then that's cool. But it's just that, oh, hey, we're 3 weeks out, so, hey, you hate them now forever.
That's your issue.
Well, yeah, for a month. Like, that's the thing that I hate.
You hate them for 2 weeks.
Yeah, you hate them for these 3 weeks, and then, like, literally the night after, no one cares. Nothing, right. Because it doesn't matter.
Nobody wins anything.
There are no stakes.
Bragging rights.
Oh, I'm going to choke you with Dalton's umbilical cord. the other thing that I hope, because, yeah, I have it.
His mom gave it to him because hoped it would grow into a better Dalton at some point.
God damn. What did I do? Stop it.
The other.
Allie's so innocent. Just sitting over there drawing her.
I didn't do anything tonight. I haven't said anything mean or like aggressive.
You're here.
You talked a lot about Lynyrd Skynyrd in that pre-show.
You really did. Oh, Patreon.com/Podzilla1985. Give $1. You can get that pre-show. What are we talking about? Who knows? Only one way to find out.
Who knows what we're talking about now?
Exactly. The other thing that I'm hoping that they will do, even though I don't think they will because now there are no more general managers, is that's the thing that I miss. I miss when it was a draft. When it was, no, I want Becky Lynch. Mm-hmm. Okay. My first pick is Becky Lynch. All right, well, my first pick is Roman Reigns. Like, I want that. I want there to be that sense of competition.
Right.
When it's just an automated random lottery that just so happens to very conveniently make sure that the Universal Champion and the WWE Champion are on opposite shows.
But didn't they
United States Champion and the Intercontinental Champion are on opposite shows.
See, the way, like, the video game, which I think was, like, Here Comes the Pain in the story mode, mm-hmm. they literally said, like, because there was a draft that you could do. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, World stays on Raw, WWE stays on SmackDown. Taker is staying on SmackDown.
Yeah, they were.
Those
ineligible.
Were the rules.
See, and that's the thing is, but they don't have those.
Yeah,
last 10 years, we've not had those.
But yeah. What was it? How long ago was it where they did do the draft where people were picking again? And
that it was Eric Bischoff and Ric Flair.
No, it was since then because I remember there being someone that didn't get picked for like when we were complaining about it. Oh, nobody wanted this person. Nobody selected this person.
I don't think they were actually picking. I think it was. They just. They were naming like who goes where. It was the person.
I feel like it was picks.
Was it?
Yeah,
picks?
Because I remember Miz complaining
sure
about it.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I don't remember when because it was so muddy.
It was the split. It was like a 3 day event because they did Raw, SmackDown, and I think they did a network special where they kept picking.
Oh yeah,
because somebody that was picked that was like completely like nobody picked this person.
Carmella
was
Cesaro. It was Cesaro. It was Shane and Stephanie.
Yeah.
Because it was Angle and okay. Stephanie and then Mick and Shane.
That's right.
Yep.
I completely forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was. And then Daniel Bryan got brought in as
because he was the co-GM of SmackDown, wasn't he?
Yeah. No. It was Stephanie and Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
And then Shane came in. That's what it was.
Yeah.
It was frustrating, though, because it made no sense. Logically, they didn't pick, like, champions or whatnot.
Right.
And it's like, how could you see more value in this person than this person? It makes no sense.
And even if they would have, even if they do that rule of, okay, well, the Intercontinental Championship is on SmackDown, that stays on SmackDown.
Yeah, like you can't champion stay put.
Right now, you cannot pick. You cannot draft Nakamura.
And don't pull that bullshit of like, well, the Undertaker's ineligible. Why?
Yeah, I don't.
I hate that.
So, God, I feel like I can't believe they've already done that. But that's how they need to do it. Like, that's how it needs to be done. Except now, who does that? There are no general managers anymore. It's all just the McMahons are in charge of everything.
And it would hopefully be pulling, not the McMahons.
It would be pulling back the curtain really hard, but have Bischoff and Heyman do it.
Well, isn't Shane still technically in charge on SmackDown?
No. He is an authority figure, but it's for both. He has control on Raw and SmackDown. Well, because remember when they did the whole, hey, our ratings have sucked for 6 months, so we're changing everything up. There's no more authority figures except for us. And then Shane proceeded to just be the heel in charge.
Yeah, which worked out well. That's great. As long as it's not what they did before, where I'll never forget because it was kind of cruel. Where they they did that random lottery. Random my ass.
Yeah.
And JR didn't know. Mm-hmm. And the JR picture popped up to go to SmackDown. And he kind of just stared at the screen, got up, shook Jerry's hand, and like left. And you could tell it kind of broke his heart.
Yeah.
Like, what a shitty thing to do. It turns out that McMahon's can be really shitty.
Yeah. I mean, and they do that. Apparently, that is not an uncommon thing. Like, for any time there are those drafts, they genuinely don't know. Like, they don't know if it's where.
Nobody knows who's going where.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is super shitty when you consider they pay for their own travel.
Right.
And things like that. I want to be optimistic. I want to give them the benefit of the doubt, even though I know I have no reason to. I hope they find some way to be able to do actual drafts and not just it's the draft lottery. I hated the draft lottery. And then I also, if they say, okay, this is a hard split, there's not going to be overlap, they need to stick to it. Because the first time that Raw superstar Roman Reigns shows up on SmackDown, I'm going to complain.
Yeah,
I'm gonna keep watching because I'm the worst. But like,
well, you're not really gonna watch.
It's the thing I hate about time travel. It's because so typically
don't follow your own rules.
So typically, you set these rules and then you don't obey them.
Though, like one thing I don't want to see, and it's only because like this is the one that always pops back to me is it was like 04-05. Triple H gets drafted to SmackDown.
Then
the next day they announce, well, he got traded for the Dudleys and Booker T. Mm-hmm. The only good thing that came from that was Booker T being like, seriously. I wasn't good enough to just be traded even.
Yeah, that blockbuster trade where Triple H was so important
that
he required like four people.
I think that was the issue of you have to stick to your guns on it and you have to let people know. Like, yeah, it's a show for us, but it shouldn't be for them.
What I never understood was that, speaking of time travel, so
let's not.
The only way that the Terminator ever existed in the first place was because he went back in time to stop John Connor, and they found part of him, and they built Cyberdyne, a Skynet, from that. But if he hadn't gone back in the first place, they never would have found the body part.
What's the next story?
I don't know.
It's just complicated. Axis announced Impact is going to begin airing in October.
So yeah, we talked about the Axis.
The purchase.
Yeah, the purchase happening. And it was kind of a matter of time, literally the next day, is when they announced that Impact would be returning to Axis.
That's our luck.
The big news from this,
it's always
though,
our luck.
The big news from this, though, for me is they will. They didn't say if it's going to change like time slot, because all they said is October. They didn't give a date or a time. Mm-hmm. So it could be moving off of Fridays. We're not really sure. But the thing for me is it will still be simulcast on Twitch.
Good.
So even if you away. So Axis is a much bigger TV than whatever I can never remember the network they're on now.
It's not Pop still, is it?
No, it's not still Pop. No, it's smaller than Pop.
Really?
It's like Hunt or something like that. It's still good. So even though Axis reaches a lot more people, they will still have that simulcast on Twitch, which I think is huge. Because arguably Impact is the easiest pro wrestling to watch right now.
Yeah. And for it's not an indie company, obviously.
Right.
But it's as close to an indie major company as you're going to get.
Yeah.
For a company,
it's on the level of like things like Ring of Honor and like now that NWA is getting a TV show.
But Twitch is such a better platform.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because Twitch is so accessible, like you said. It's like if they put wrestling on YouTube, which no one ever will because YouTube is
some
awful.
There was a story I almost put on there, but there was a...
That was What Culture's thing for a while.
Santino Brothers, I think, airs primarily on YouTube, I want to say.
A lot of places like... A lot of your indie companies...
CCW.
Yeah.
Well, like a lot of like indie companies air on YouTube because it's easy and clean. You can't really monetize it, but you can get your product.
Because there was a pretty major channel that got demonetized, but because of the backlash... This was this week.
Oh, my bad.
There was a company that got demonetized that then just got their monetization back like yesterday, I think.
Also, I do want to mention that Impact is on the Pursuit channel.
Pursuit, that's...
Which I
was close.
Hunt, yeah. No, I'll give
Hunt
you
is
Hunt.
Pursuit.
I had a synonym.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that channel.
No, neither have I. But I will give you, I will concede you got the point on that.
So that's very cool. It's a great time to be, if you're a wrestling fan and you want more wrestling content that's not just WWE, what a time to be alive. With Impact being readily available, NXT kind of being its own thing and doing well, AEW coming out. There's so much wrestling available
Fight
for you.
TV,
you your head will explode.
Oh, independent wrestling TV.
Yeah, like there's so many there's YouTube, so many, yeah.
NWA.
I like Creator Pro. That's Kurt Hawkins' school. Like, I like Creator Pro a whole lot.
I really like Santino Brothers. I started watching them recently, mostly because they teach you how to wrestle, and that's basically my training because I don't get time to train, and I'm not very good at that either. But they put on shows called Up All Night, and they're really entertaining. Like, they're super, super indie.
I would be so scared if I went in a locker room with a guy, and I was like, where did
you... So where'd you learn your training at? Oh, I watch YouTube videos.
I'd be like, oh, no.
I would just I'd link you to the WikiHow page.
Oh, I'd be like, I'd have a 4-star match. I think I just had an anxiety attack.
This is not cool, or maybe it is. I don't know.
They gave him the old Luke Harper.
Yeah, WWE extended Jeff Hardy's contract due to his injury. I think, what is it, a year they added to it?
I'm not 100% sure what the length is. And I think it depends on what Jeff Hardy is looking for.
Yeah.
Because if it is like Luke Harper, where he asked for his release, and they're like, not only no, you work here forever now.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, that's super shady.
But
if
I
it
can't
is,
see him wanting to do that.
But if Jeff Hardy's, you know, if he's happy with WWE, he wants to stay, he wants to, you know, return to the ring.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, well, we're extending your contract, so when you're healthy, then you get that time. But then it's a good thing. But we don't have any context over which one of those it could be.
But let me also reiterate.
Or if it's neither.
Both of them could be shitty.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I still want to be here.
Okay,
but I can come back and make more money, but I'm in this old contract whenever I could have made a new contract.
Yeah.
Like, it's, but like, that's super niche of like,
On the other hand, sorry, I'm so tired. On the other hand, if you're like a lower tier wrestler who is afraid of getting fired, just lie and say you're injured. They keep extending your contract forever. Like, no.
Well, and the
JTG should have just had a limp.
Shouldn't have answered his phone.
Kurt Hawkins is coughing an awful lot these days.
They use Hawkins a decent amount.
Good. I love Kurt Hawkins.
I do too.
I love that. What I is feel it called? The Major Brothers?
The Major Wrestling Figure Podcast. Suck a... I stopped myself.
Okay.
I can say it 80% of the time.
I just choked on my own rage. Wow. We're really burning through these quick. Retromania. RetroSoft. Is it RetroSoft is the name of the company?
Yeah, RetroSoft, yeah.
They announced that Retromania is coming to Xbox One. I found out about this through...
Me?
I don't know if you mentioned this, but I watched a Wrestling with Regret, and it was... He did a commercial at the very beginning. Brian Zane did.
This is another one that...
You learned it from me, because I put it in the PW, like, right after they announced it.
Yeah, this literally happened the day after we recorded.
Because you remember, last week you said, oh, what's their announcement? And I said, not doing it until tomorrow.
Yeah, and you were like, instead of saying, oh, I don't know, you were like, well, I don't know, Shannon. Because nobody can answer a question anymore without being a dick.
But the announcement was, or the story was, RetroSoft is making an announcement tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you said, what is it going to be?
I know you have sources.
No, I don't.
You have your ear to the ground.
No, I literally don't.
But there's also the, like, it's an announcement of a thing that was already, like, we already knew this. This isn't news.
But it's still not coming to PS4 yet.
It's not announced for PS4 right. yet. It doesn't because necessarily they, mean that it's said, not, but.
I want to say they said there's something about, like, it's legal stuff. They're trying to get everything. Cause
they're trying, yeah.
Sony is kind of harder edged when it comes to stuff like this. You remember Skyrim, when it came out on Xbox One and PS4. PS4 got shafted on Skyrim and Fallout because, like, the mods, Bethesda could not get Sony to write off on allowing mods. So I could see Sony being a bitch about this because they kind of are on a lot of things.
I was hoping that it was just going to stay on the Switch, but I'm happy that there's going to be more platforms for this game to go with because it looks fun.
Yeah, it does. And I'm with you. I was hoping it would also stay on the Switch to give us something that's like, oh, look, we got a cool wrestling game.
Then you could put Mario in it.
See, but also the more platforms it's on, the more successful it can be.
Yeah.
You know, the more opportunity you have for other people, and then the more money it makes, then the more, you know, likely you can get a sequel or additional content. Things like that.
Which they are doing additional content.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like a super, like, it's, I'm going to buy the game when it comes out.
Yep.
But it's one of those things, like, the roster's really weird because you have, like, the Road Warriors.
Yeah.
Colt Cabana.
Austin
Idol. Mm-hmm.
Is Zack Sabre Jr. in this one?
Zack Sabre Jr.
Okay. BWO.
BWO.
Neither of you acknowledged that when I said it. I was like, oh, God, did I just pull a wrong name?
No, you did. Because I was going to, like, name Zack Sabre Jr. as last word. It's like, yeah, they got all these people. And Zack Sabre Jr. So if you ever want to see who would win in a match, Blue Meanie or Zack Sabre Jr.
I think we all know Blue Meanie would mess him up.
Wipe the floor with that little twig boy.
I always liked Blue Meanie.
But that
please, hear me. Hear me out. Please bring Fire Pro to Switch. Game over.
Yeah.
Game over. Atheist?
It's a lot.
Give me checkmate, Atheist.
I really like Fire Pro a lot. Like, the world was really good.
I really wish they would put out another 2K game on Switch, because I feel like they can do it right. Look at the NBA games. They're really good on the Switch.
Yeah, but the NBA games were consistently good on the Switch. Like, the first one came out, and it was solid. It wasn't great, but they got better.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, this is a dumpster fire, and if you give us even kind of passable...
Yeah, 2K18, I still think it is the worst Switch game ever made. It's practically unplayable. And I know people throw that term around a lot, but this is practically unplayable.
Yeah.
If you do more than two people. It's just, it's a dumpster fire, 100%. But we need more wrestling games on Switch, because right now it's just 2K18 and Cheeky Cheeky Boxy Pro Wrestling, which is a real game, and I'm not making it up.
Yeah, I haven't tried it.
I almost bought it. It's basically, imagine Minecraft if they're all wrestlers.
Oh, yeah, I remember seeing that, yeah.
But apparently it wasn't good. So, Retromania, I think, will be a lot more fun. Retromania doesn't come out until next year, though.
Really? I didn't know the release date for it yet.
It was even in that commercial with Brian Zane. They're like, well, when does this game come out? And he goes, like, quarter one, 2020. And Brian Zane goes, why is it so long? And it zooms in on me and goes, hype. And I'm like, I get that, but I was hoping it would be out this year.
Yeah. I mean, there's already so many games coming out this year.
In wrestling, 2K20 is coming out in a month.
Yeah, but there's also good games coming out this year.
Good wrestling games?
No. They don't make those anymore.
2K20 will be fine.
It'll be like 2K19.
Yeah.
The Fiend's in it.
So is Swamp, Frankenstein,
Strowman.
Strowman. Swampenstein.
Okay, you got
Strowmanstein.
Me there.
That's it. That's all the news of the week.
How much time I got?
Right now, we have been doing this for 14 minutes.
That sounds about right.
So we have another 46 minutes.
No, there was a lot of insulting me in there. That's definitely, it's been like 45.
Yeah, no, that was like the best 30 seconds of the show, though.
Yeah, that's true. Christ. Dude, that was fantastic.
I'll get my notes pulled up for impact.
I want to congratulate Asa on the sick burns tonight, because...
He can eat. You got your notes yet?
No, I got Taco Bell. That's what I'm going to eat.
So what I was going to do is, if he was going to burn you again, I was going to hit you with the...
like the fire extinguisher.
God, I hate you.
Impact this week, I really dug a lot of it. We finally got an Ace Austin Eddie Edwards match that didn't resolve anything, so that's going to keep going, but at least there's finally some interaction other than just being stupid. Like, mm-hmm. Everyone on that, like, Ace Austin is just so much smarter than Eddie Edwards and Alicia Edwards, and it's infuriating. Michael Elgin, this was filmed in Mexico. Michael Elgin, after his victory, challenged Mara Fuji to a match for Bound for Glory. Right?
I love Mara Fuji so much.
So that match is going to happen. LAX was there. They were like packing up their stuff. Conan was talking to him. Willie Mack and Rich Swann came in and said, like, you know, this sucks that you guys are going out like that. That shouldn't be your last match. So they challenged them to a match. So LAX's final match with Impact is going to be against the team of Willie Mack and Rich Swann.
That'll be fun.
That's going to be real good. I keep telling you all, watch Impact. You can do it.
So I need to ask one question. I don't mean to cut you off, but I just read it. Was it already in it? This is a spoiler for tonight's episode of NXT, so skip ahead like
20 seconds. I don't think it's not fair to say spoiler.
If it's already aired.
Because it's live.
I mean,
I didn't know Leo Rush was on NXT.
That was an announcement.
Okay, that was an announcement?
Yeah, that's his big return. He has not done anything advertised or unadvertised.
Right, thank you. He fought Oney Lorcan, yeah. Which looked like it was a good match.
I'm sure it was.
Right. Then they continued the story between Sami Callihan is frustrated with Brian Cage because they're not just stripping him of the title, even though he should, because he can't compete.
Yeah.
But so they're making him wait until Bound for Glory to get his championship match. And then in the meantime, Tessa Blanchard is continuing her feud with OVE. And this was it was her and Tommy Dreamer against Jake and Sammy, I think.
One of the Chris brothers and then
Sammy. And then it ended with a giant brawl between, because Madman Fulton came out and other Chris brother came out, Dave and Jake.
Yeah,
Dave came out. Which then Rhino and RVD came out to even the odds. So it was...
I read about that.
So it was Tessa Blanchard and Tommy Dreamer, RVD, and Rhino. And so that's probably going to be like a four-person tag.
Okay. Oh, Fulton's with OVE, my bad.
Yeah, Madman Fulton's with OVE.
I was like, dude, that's uneven. And then I realized Fulton
Yeah, no, Fulton's with OVE.
Yeah.
And then we got more of the... we got a little bit more of a tease with Sue Young and Jessica Havoc. That feud is continuing. James Mitchell appeared and kind of begged for Jessica Havoc to stop like trying to back away, to run away from Soo Young.
Are they keeping this in the realm of reality, or are we still doing the crazy stuff?
Yeah, mostly. So Soo Young is doing we have not gotten any of the undead realm in weeks. Like, that has just been done.
That's probably for the best.
And then they had but Soo Young has been she's been airing these videos of her speaking, you know, another language, like while she's just like wandering through the forest. And it's been really weird.
Okay, another language as in an actual language, or is she like gibberish, creepy
it's
talk?
I think it's her native language.
Okay, cool.
Which I'm blanking on.
I'll look it up.
What it is. I think, I'm not 100% sure on that, so like don't hold that against me. And then we got it looks like it's going to be Rosemary versus Taya Valkyrie at Bound for Glory. Valkyrie showed up in Rosemary's stairwell, and she was like, I have force fields that should have obliterated you as soon as she's like, I wear shiny clothes, so maybe they just bounced off. Maybe they just reflected off. Like, she just totally just like
no sold.
It. Yeah, and it was kind of great.
See, I like that. Because whenever you take a crazy person and then reality goes, good.
So she's trying to be like buddy buddy to Rosemary, because I don't think she, because her whole thing is she only defends her championship which that's the thing that I don't like about the Brian Cage bit, is because you currently are running a story with a champion who is bragging about the fact that she only defends at the maximum amount of time that she has to. Like, she will defend on day 29.
Yeah.
And then, like, otherwise she's clear. Whereas Brian Cage, they're kind of not acknowledging that he hasn't had a defense in a very long time. So that's a weird misstep.
And they've done that before. WWE is pretty bad about that.
Yeah, it's just an inconsistency there. Right. That, yeah, like you said, I mean, it is not unique to Impact.
No, not at all.
It's just, it's a bummer to see when the majority of the rest of the show is so strong.
Right.
Like, it's just like, oh man, you could have really done something different there. But again, like, I like this episode of Impact better than the last couple weeks. I think there's more to enjoy there. So
I'm gonna try to start watching this on Twitch. I really do, because I do want to watch
every
wrestling
week for the last like 3 months.
And I always forget. I really do. Mm-hmm. Like, my brain is just Swiss cheese.
I tried
do
one watch time that. And I couldn't find it, so I was like,
did you do a search?
Yeah, I searched. Like, I couldn't find like the most. I watched the next day, and I was trying to find.
It was just Impact Twitch. Just there's a website called Google.
Goggle it,
mother. Okay.
Is it hard? Like, I don't think it's hard.
He's trying to do that stare at you thing, yeah, but it doesn't work correctly.
He thinks he's intimidating, and really it's just adorable.
What's the bandana?
He's got like a coleslaw on his lip, and it's just like, no, that's not intimidating at all. There's something there.
Yeah.
Like, don't bite your lip.
Oh, you're a bitch.
What?
Can't
stop. Are you doing a bit right now?
No.
Yeah, you are.
Don't make, I want to make some knee-high park jokes right now. I'm not going to.
No. No one knows what knee-high park is.
Good. They can't even pronounce it.
No, I said what I said. Raw.
Raw. All hail King Corbin.
Yay! I'm actually like that match was really good.
Yeah.
He's killed it past couple weeks.
I liked the follow up on SmackDown, which we'll get to here in a minute. But no, because this kind of keeps Corbin in a little bubble that most of the people who get upset about things that he's involved in, because this isn't a main event feud. King of the Ring doesn't mean what it used to mean.
Yeah,
not at all.
Let's be honest. It could. I don't think this is going to be that launching point this time, but
Dalton,
whatever.
What was the last great King of the Ring? Like, legitimately, I'm asking, who, in your opinion, was the last great King of the Ring that they really mattered that they won it? Because I'm thinking 90s.
Nope.
Austin.
Nope.
Asa?
All hail King Booker.
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah.
That was the best King of the Ring.
William Regal's was good, too, but he won the IC, like, right after it.
I
love that. That was the feud with Punk, but that was more of a personal I loved those matches.
Yeah. Plus Regal.
Yeah.
Regal.
I also like, whenever I talk about how good it was, like, whenever you didn't have as many shows to fill, it was able to be more impactful.
I watched.
Because it was like world title, IC, King of the Ring winner.
I watched a Wrestling with Regret. They were talking about King of the Ring that Mabel won. And
that was kind of the first one that was a dud.
Yeah, because the whole, it was Mabel versus Savio Vega in the main for the King of the Ring in a tournament that also had Shawn Michaels and Undertaker, who were both eliminated early.
Yeah.
Which is really, really weird. King of the Ring was always one of my favorite. Because,
like, you would have King of the Ring winners that's just like, hell, like Duggan, Harley Race, like
Macho Man.
Yeah, Macho Man. You would have these people. And then you go late 90s past Austin, it was kind of more of a.
It slowly,
because like you had Owen Hart, who was awesome, and it, like, that was great.
But then you also had
Edge and Billy Gunn.
I was gonna say, all right, everyone say who they think is the worst one on the count of three, and we were all gonna say Billy Gunn.
I was gonna say King Barrett, but
only because of what they did with it.
Yeah, like they stopped caring.
Yeah, and because you can actually see the transition, and when you go back through the history of King of the Ring, it seems like the top of the top, like top tier main event talent, were the ones winning that tournament,
mm-hmm.
and then it slowly started to turn into
we can push people.
It's
people.
Yeah, it's something that someone who isn't quite to the main event yet, but now this is a platform that they can really
they can
go, and then it slowly kind of devolved from there.
And then didn't it go away for a while?
Yeah, it has not been an annual thing,
which is weird.
So like,
man,
if you go through it, like it's a pretty good list, but you'll see a couple where it's like, all right, Kurt Angle, Edge, Randy Savage, Harley Race, Booker T, but then you start having like,
in that order.
Well, not in that order. I'm just finding people that want it. But this list is really weird because now it's just like people that competed in King of the Ring. What the hell? All right, but like you have those, and then you have like Edge in like 99, 2000. Oh, no, I think it was 01. Where like Edge is amazing. Like he's in the Hall of Fame for a reason. But they gave it to him in a time where he wasn't Edge yet.
He was
still Brood.
Was he still the homeless, like angry homeless
kind of
guy?
Yeah, because I think it was post Brood, but yeah.
Where but his like, character hadn't evolved past
right.
that.
Yeah,
really.
And now it's Baron Corbin, which I think he was the perfect choice for King.
He really, like, he really was. Let me see.
We had Trending Trent Daniels on the show on CCW Live earlier tonight, and the general consensus we had from it was it really did what it was supposed to. It got people pissed off, and that is what Baron Corbin does. Baron Corbin is a heat magnet.
You didn't see it. Did you see Lance Storm's tweet about Corbin?
Yeah, where it's like he may not be the most exciting guy, but he always plants him safe.
Yeah.
Excuse you. I did see that tweet, and I also saw Randy Orton's follow up to it.
Did you see the follow up to the follow up?
I did. And
where
that
it was just
fantastic.
Like, yeah, he understands the art. I retract his statement.
It's like, Baron Corbin's great. He's one of the few that truly respects the art. And then, like, 6 hours later,
I want to apologize to my colleagues.
I was very drunk.
And then he then tweeted out again, all hail, in the same tweet, mm-hmm. all hail King Corbin. I also redact this tweet.
Randy Orton on Twitter is one of my favorite things.
Yes, Randy Orton on Instagram is also amazing. There was one where he was on, like, vacation with his wife or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's like, his wife's in a bikini. So he's, like, doing a selfie, turns around, and he's like, I don't know what's better, this ocean or that booty. I'm leaning towards the booty. And I'm like, I hate this man, but I love this man.
Sweet as sugar.
Yeah, I'm on Wikipedia, and I'm looking through the list of, so just to go through the list, and this is in order. Don Morocco, Harley Race, Randy Savage, Ted DiBiase, Tito Santana, Bret Hart, Owen Hart, Mabel, Stone Cold.
There it is.
Stone Cold Steve Austin, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, Ken Shamrock, Billy Gunn, Kurt Angle, Edge, Brock Lesnar, Booker T, William Regal, and then this is where, and then, so it was gone for 2 years, which there was multiple year breaks in between. It goes from William Regal to Sheamus, Bad News Barrett, and then it's been 4 years since that, and now it's Corbin.
It's been 4 years since they've done King of the Ring.
Yeah, the last one was Barrett.
Wow.
85, 86, 87, 88, 89, 91, 93, Bret Hart won back-to-back. Owen Hart in 94, 95, 96, 7, 98, 99, 2000. So Brock Lesnar won in 2002. Booker T won it in 2006. William Regal won it in 2008. Sheamus won it 2010. And then it was 5 years between Bad News Barrett winning it and then 4 years between Corbin winning it.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So, and like I said, you kind of go through this and it goes from main event caliber to... Really, Owen Hart winning it is kind of that turning point of, okay,
mid-card.
We want to break people through into the main event.
I think,
it didn't really work for Mabel, but then you immediately follow that up with Stone Cold.
It didn't work for Owen.
Stone Cold and Triple H.
I think there's an argument to be
made
about.
You know, you're right.
And I love Owen Hart.
It's one of those things where I think it's very easy to romanticize Owen Hart's place in pro wrestling.
Yeah.
In his treatment of pro wrestling. Owen Hart, one of the all-time greats, I don't think anyone will argue that, but he was never really presented as...
The guy.
As, you know, as someone who could even be the guy, yeah. Much less the guy.
Two things. One, I don't know about Don Morocco. I love Don Morocco. Mm-hmm. I was a big Don Morocco fan.
Yeah.
And that's legit. I'm not making that up. I was a huge Don Morocco fan. Mm-hmm. But to see him in the categories with those other guys... He wasn't on the same level.
He was the first winner, though. But he was the first
one. And that kind of gives him a pass in a way. Because yeah.
who was the first Royal Rumble winner?
Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the other thing I want to mention is...
In 89.
Owen Hart and the King of the Ring, one of my favorite things, the King of Hearts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a fantastic moniker.
And I think that's why it's one of those things where it's like, I'm remembering it. Like, it's more important to me than it was important at the time to them at the time.
Yeah.
Magnificent Morocco.
I would never speak ill of Owen Hart because I'm not an idiot.
Or Don Morocco.
But to get back to my point, so then you go from Stone Cold and Triple H, who you definitely can point to, you know, that King of the Ring tournament is when he, that's also where 316 came from, was after he won that. You know, Triple H beating Mankind, like that was a turning point in his career. And then you have people like Ken Shamrock and Billy Gunn who, it didn't really catapult them, but you could see where they were trying.
Yeah,
were trying to be treated as a big deal, just didn't stick.
Bruce Pritchard talks a lot about Billy Gunn in that.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like, Billy Gunn actually has asthma.
Yeah.
So it's just like, no, he was an amazing tag team wrestler, but there's a difference between a 20-minute tag match and a 20-minute singles match, where like Billy Gunn could just never get there.
Right. And then you have people like, and then I think we can all agree that, you know, it did help. It may not have been the launching point, but it absolutely led credibility to Kurt Angle and Edge and Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Like all three of them, it really helped. Booker T totally revitalized the man's career.
Yeah.
And he was already like a former world champion at that point. Not necessarily in WWE, but WCW.
I'm sorry, I forget five time.
Yeah.
King Booker is what, because if I remember correctly, he came from WCW as a champion and legit.
Mm-hmm.
Came to WWE, didn't get buried per se, but never treated correctly. Didn't get a great run.
They dropped his title right away and gave it to The Rock, and then didn't have another title shot until like 03, and then didn't have a title shot until like 06.
But then King Booker 100% went like, I didn't forget he was a WCW guy, but it was like, but now you have a WWE character version of Booker T that is popular and made money, and everyone kind of goes, Booker T and WCW, here's the dark era. King Booker.
Yeah, they're just now doing a Booker T Elite.
Yeah.
And since they've done two King Bookers, but they are they did a Harlem Heat Booker T.
But you can really tell when WWE changed their tune on Booker T after King Booker, where now he's presented as this legend.
Yeah, he also had some heat whenever he started.
Was it Batista?
Booker T? No, it was Stone Cold.
Really?
Yeah, I'll go into it more later, but basically like he stiffed like Stone Cold and hurt him a little bit.
Oh, you don't do that.
And then the last person you stiffed, it gets kind of weird. I'll explain it later because like Bruce Pritchard talked about it on his podcast.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. And then you go from Booker T to William Regal, who again, and he's very open about his issues that cost him what was going to be a major push.
Yep.
And it kind of stemmed from that King of the Ring. One of my favorite images in all of pro wrestling is the beaten, just devastated looking, so exhausted William Regal just draped over the throne. Iconic.
Long-haired William Regal was like so badass looking. Yeah. And that music.
Oh, that's. I listened to that at the gym.
Oh, my God.
He's a man.
And then,
not that.
No, that one.
That was what he's talking about. And then, 2 years later, it was Sheamus who they kind of just did the same.
Don't King even Sheamus. Remember he was King of the Ring.
They made an elite.
Yeah. 5 years later, King Barrett. That eventually just immediately faded away to Bad News Barrett. Like it was
Bad News Barrett.
Did he win King?
Because Vince didn't Bad News Barrett. Because King of the Ring, King of the Ring killed Bad News Barrett.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then he left not very long after that.
Nope.
And now we have King Barrett.
Yeah, and now it's King Corbin, which King Corbin. I love the idea of, I do like the idea of how are they going to go with this? Like, is he going to, I don't think he's going to go full King. Like, he's not going to go King Booker, where he, like, genuinely thinks he's royalty.
But the whole whenever he was, like, the acting general manager, and the shit he would make the announcers say like, Constable Corbin, like,
that's... Former acting general manager, insert city here's favorite son.
Yeah, like...
Former Golden Gloves boxing winner, Andre the Giant Battle Royal winner.
It's Matt Facts, but he's making them say it.
Yeah, he's making them read it all out loud. Like, even if it's something as simple as that, like, is... Wonderful.
So 15 minutes later, congratulations, King.
Y'all
worried
about
Corbin.
Filling time. We went, and that wasn't just about Corbin. That was about the history of King of the Ring.
Yeah.
That's true. So King of the Ring was always, I just want to say, King of the Ring was always one of my favorite, it was one of my favorite pay-per-views. I grew up in the 80s and 90s.
Where it mattered.
Yeah, King of the Ring was like one of the top, I looked forward to it every year.
And that's why so many people are clamoring for it to get back, because then, you know, when it's been 5 years since Barrett won it, and you're like, oh yeah, they kind of stopped caring about
it. How is it not a yearly one?
Yeah.
Like you've got time for great balls of fire, but you don't have time for King of the Ring?
I've said it on the show before. The way that I would do it is the King of the Ring would be and I get like you can't do this because it's dangerous as hell. Have it be a one-night tournament.
Oh yeah.
on pay-per-view. Like, that's the pay-per-view. And the pay-per-view is the tournament. The weeks leading up to the pay-per-view are qualifying matches. So, like, make it, you know, a pretty decent.
How would that be dangerous
tournament.
As hell?
Because the more matches you work, the more exhausted you get, and the more exhausted
okay.
you get, the more likely
I didn't know
you
if you meant something
yeah,
else. Because no. that's what they used to do.
It's the G1. Yeah. It's the G1 argument.
Yeah, it's the G1 argument of like you were going a million miles an hour three nights a week, and like your the human body can't contain that.
That's true.
But then you shouldn't be a wrestler. Dance puppets.
There's also probably a big difference between the way
clearly
Mabel
that's
wrestles.
A
yeah, I know.
Like,
just like
clearly
just,
that's
well, somebody thinks that.
yeah, you're right.
Mabel did not wrestle the same way that the people in the G1 wrestled.
Yeah, no,
to be fair.
Yeah. No. But so like, but that in a ideal situation where no one's going to get hurt.
I don't want Ricochet making the finals if that's the case.
Right. The three weeks before the King of the Ring tournament is all qualifying matches. Then you have the bracket set, and it's a one night tournament. The winner becomes King of the Ring. And then they get the championship match at the next pay-per-view, which is the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, make
and
it
then,
matter.
Because then you have, okay, and then if you win, not only are you the champion, you win it at the Royal Rumble, you're going into WrestleMania as champion. That's potentially a main event spot.
Plus, yeah. I always just wanted to be King of the Ring.
Or even if you do, even if
that
you don't
was a
want
cool
to do
title.
That, even if you don't want to do that, King of the Ring gets the number 30 entrance in the Royal Rumble. Do something like have it tie in to a championship opportunity or a major thing like that, or Elimination Chamber, you're the last pot open. Make it matter as opposed to just a title and then potentially a character change that doesn't usually
go
well.
It's the all-star, it's the baseball, or the MLB all-star thing, where it's like whichever division wins gets home field advantage at the World Series.
Yeah.
But they used to put such an emphasis on the King of the Ring.
Itself, yeah.
Itself, and that's what's lost nowadays. You can't do the tournament and just give them the title only because it doesn't really matter anymore. We're too smart for it, and they have never pushed it as well as they did back in the 80s. But again, in the 80s, King Macho, the Macho King, that was him.
Yeah.
You know, like the King of the Ring meant something back then. It was being told that you're the best in the ring right now.
Yeah.
But as you grow up and learn that wrestling is scripted, suddenly accolades and titles like that don't really matter.
I mean, they still can.
They
it's
can.
Just, but it's a matter of,
if
you know,
don't acknowledge the script in the show.
Well, and if you don't, and also like it matters how you acknowledge the title.
Adam?
The title and because the WWE champion is a title.
Yeah.
But like the title of King of the Ring
is a title.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get what you mean. Other ways on Raw.
Yeah.
Because we're at an hour now.
Dear Lord. Other stuff on Raw. Let me see, where my notes go. Cedric Alexander apparently is terrible.
He's not over.
He lost on the pre-show of the pay-per-view after AJ Styles picked him up at 2. Then beat him clean.
Oh wow, I didn't know that.
Beat him clean. Got the advantage, he lost the exchange between AJ Styles and the OC. Then later on, when that turned into the match, he's the one that took the pin.
Yeah.
And it's just like, why?
So, yeah, what I wanted to say is the King of the Ring match was amazing. Mm-hmm. The rest of Raw sucked.
What
I watched
the Fiend?
Okay. Oh, no. All right. The King of the Ring was awesome. Mm-hmm. And then the 24/7 title segment was fantastic.
What happened?
Mayor Kane was taking
Mayor
Glenn Jacobs was taking around R-Truth like as a tour around the city.
That's pretty
cool. Yeah.
And then eventually he like introduced like, "Hey, I swore in this officer. Would you like to meet him?" He's like, "Yeah, sure." He's like, "Oh, well, I didn't swear him in as an officer. I swore him in as a referee."
And then he pins him.
R-Truth turns around, runs away, runs into a goalpost because they're at the Vols field.
Yeah, because they were in Knoxville.
Kane pins him, picks up the championship, starts dancing away and says, "I still got it." And that was awesome.
It made me happy.
Did you see
the rest of Raw was bullshit.
Did you see the video that R-Truth posted about being pulled over by the police?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was also good. Allie, I don't know if you didn't see it. Apparently they
did.
Where he gets out and the cop says, "Hey, do you want to? Can we take a picture?" And R-Truth's like, "Yeah, yeah, we can take a picture. That's fine." So he gets up and one of the cops goes away. And when he comes back, he's in a ref's outfit. And R-Truth's like, "Well, you're a ref too?" And then the other cop tries to pin him. And he like gets away, jumps out of the car and speeds off.
Jeez.
That was pretty funny. That's good stuff. That's good shit, pal.
Other stuff on Raw, which we're getting to the big one here in a minute. I just want to go through the stuff that can
are you gonna, the one that's gonna make me really angry?
Yeah, the one that we can go through quickly.
You'll find out.
Not Baron Corbin?
There is
no,
the,
I love Baron Corbin.
There is the thing that I did not like. Strowman was told he's not getting another championship match, so he's like, the next person in the ring is going to get these hands.
And he kills the tag division.
He kills both tag team champions.
Yep.
Like both teams, Ziggler and Rude. And the Revival.
Yep.
Hate it. Stop doing that. Stop doing that.
Well, they
got
to make Strowman look strong. How do you do
for
that
the next
other
time
than have him bury like everyone important?
Yeah. Ugh. I hated that.
That's always shit.
Then Kane. At the main event, it was Robert Roode versus Seth Rollins, who I'm very surprised Robert Roode, worth noting, pinned Rollins to win the tag team titles, then did not lose on Monday. So
he just lost his respect.
I kind of think they might be like planting seeds for maybe something cool there. Yeah. Hopefully, I'm not holding my breath. But then, so Kane comes out to even the odds. And as after he, you know, clears out the OC and everybody, Fiend comes out, mandible claws, Kane. Dig it. Super cool.
The Firefly funhouses throughout the entire night was
my future best friend, Seth Rollins. Like, there's a lot of cool
implications. My wall of
there.
Friends, and it was everybody that he, like, that he, mandible clawed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or taken out.
But it was one of those, like, I was not impressed by this episode of Raw. There was two things I liked, and even the Firefly Funhouse stuff. Like, the open was awesome because it was that back and forth promo, but Seth, I just don't need him talking.
I don't like that we're already getting Fiend in a championship match.
Yeah,
I think this is too soon. I think this is way too soon.
Because it was the whole thing when you're like, he needs to beat the demon.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to lose to... He's,
see, and that's the thing. Yeah. It's like, okay, I don't know what the Fiend looks like as Universal Champion, but I also he cannot lose. Like,
but he's going to lose. That's the issue.
Yeah, and it's so...
I mean, like, he would have to just beat Rollins to a pulp to where he didn't care about the title. He just wanted to hurt him.
Yeah.
That could be the only way.
And then, like, and there could be some super interesting things about what he would do with the Universal Championship or why he even wants to be Universal Champion that I hope they will address. And they still have a lot of time to address.
Because here's the also
it's
the big
like
issue.
That's this Sunday.
The big issue that I have with it is that's not the WWE Championship.
It's the Universal.
He has no reason to care about. Well, he never won that belt. He won the WWE Championship. Mm-hmm. If he was doing this shit to Kofi, I would be way more down for it. Because you'd be like, that's his belt. That was the belt
that,
he had.
Lost.
Kofi's got an opponent. Thank you.
We're getting there.
Yeah, but go ahead and go to it because I know you're getting there.
Nope, there's one more thing I want to talk about.
Okay.
AOP are now tag team Aleister Black.
Yep.
They got their. Everyone's too scared to fight us. The one was speaking Albanian. The other one was speaking Punjabi. Like, I dug that. I love that
segment.
That
was cool, yeah.
Them in suits look killer. But it's that, we've already, like, all right, let's see what happens, but...
It just reminds me of a joke from The Great White Hype. Have you ever seen that movie?
Yeah, it's such a good movie.
Where Marvin Shabazz is like, why you ducking me? And he just goes, we're not ducking you, just so black, we can't find you. Like, AOP saying, like, everyone's too scared to fight. It's like, no one's scared to fight you, they just haven't seen you.
Right.
No one knows where you are.
You have been off TV for the last, like, 6 months.
The ending of that movie is amazing.
I love that movie.
Just beats the shit out of them.
That's such a good... And Sam Jackson just walks over his body to get to the other guy.
Yeah,
I love that
movie. Great.
Have you seen it, Asa?
Yeah, it's been it's been a while. But,
it's fantastic.
The other thing from Raw, the big one, is the Maria Kanellis gender reveal party.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah.
Where she reveals that Ricochet is actually the father of her baby,
which was news to Ricochet.
Which was yes, Ricochet denies it.
All right, here's the thing. What? He didn't deny not having sex with her. He just said, dude, I wouldn't do it. It's the love of your life. It's obviously your kid. You're not saying the obvious, like, if Allie was pregnant and she said, Dalton, you're the father, I'd be like, I didn't sleep with you.
You wouldn't just go, no. You couldn't have gotten pregnant.
By me, because you love Shannon.
I think, honestly, and I maybe I'm giving them too much credit. Maybe I have a horrible misunderstanding of how PG television works. I think it's because they can't flat out say that.
Yeah, like, but it's the whole thing. Like, but then that makes that whole thing stupid.
What makes it even dumber is then... Him in street Kanellis in street clothes going out and challenging him to a match. They have a match. He loses in 30 seconds. And then Maria's like, you are the father, dummy. Like, I was just doing this to make you...
toughen you up.
To hopefully get a fire out of you.
Pull the fire out of you. But actually, no. Never mind. You're not the father. The actual father is... And then Rusev's music hits. And I don't know what it is. I think I am just... It hit me wrong. Because when I went back and rewatched it, I don't see it. But, like, my initial reaction to the first time I saw it was, no, Rusev's just interrupting the segment.
Nope.
He's just coming out to, like, beat up Kanellis because he can. But then when I watched it back, I'm like, okay, well, maybe she does, like, stop talking and she doesn't look surprised when he comes out. But, like, Rusev is back. He looks fucking amazing.
And he apparently knocked up Maria Kanellis.
I guess, but, like, they've already established that him and Lana are married. So this is all very weird, and I don't like it, and I'm hoping I'm correct the first way I saw it of, no, Rusev is just back, and he wants to F-S up.
So you think maybe they just missed a mark? Like, they missed a cue where they played the music?
Or they missed the music cue.
No, because I think she flat out said the actual father of my child is, and then his music
But she
played.
Never says his name.
See, but typically what happens in those moments is it's, the real father of my child is... And then it's like a weird 20-second pause, and then it happens. She was still like mid-sentence when his music started. Mm-hmm. And that's the only reason that I think there might be a
bait and switch?
Yeah. But again, I could be reading way too much into
it. It's going to be Swoggle.
That said,
it's going to be Swoggle.
That said, I'm super excited Rusev is back. I just wish that they would give him something. He looks great. Truly, truly meaningful.
But yeah, that whole segment was stupid. It was just like, why? Okay. Why are you challenging somebody to a match when he's right in front of you?
And then Kanellis tried to like run away, so he looked even worse.
Well, yeah. From what I understand, didn't he say?
No, I'm talking about Ricochet.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, okay, like, gotcha. If, all right, let's say that Ricochet had slept with Maria Kanellis and it is this kid. And Mike is that mad about it. Why would you then, like, at least he was in street clothes. If he'd have shown up in gear, I'd have been really pissed.
Yeah.
But, like, why wouldn't you just beat his ass there?
Well, because if it's like the MWR, if it's not in front of a crowd, it doesn't count.
I hate you. But, like, that was dumb. Like, this.
It's dumb. Just say it's dumb.
It's dumb. Yeah. It's so dumb. It makes no sense.
Who do I need to watch fuck my girlfriend to get this to stop? Because it's a cuck angle.
Wait, who do I need to watch fuck my girlfriend? Okay.
Like, I'm the cuck in this.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Corey Graves called him a beta cuck.
Yeah, that also happened.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's real? I thought that was a joke.
Those words were said on WWE Raw.
They said beta cuck.
Because that's the whole thing of, like, they can say sex.
If they can say beta cuck, they can say sex.
Yeah.
But it could be a type of fish.
Go to Petco and ask.
Do you have any beta cucks?
You have to do it, Asa. I'm not doing it. No, I know it's not a fish.
So yeah, it's bad.
SmackDown happened. There was an opening segment where it was the New Day versus FTRKO. New Day got the win. I think that was pretty much it. Sasha Banks accepted Becky's challenge that Becky issued on Raw for the Hell in a Cell match. Sasha points out that, well, I've been in a Hell in a Cell match. You've never have.
She lost, though.
Yeah, and then she lost to Charlotte because Bayley interfered.
In the Hell in a Cell?
Oh, no. I thought you meant the match that she had on SmackDown. Because it was Sasha versus Charlotte on SmackDown. But Bayley interfered.
And then Carmella came out, didn't she?
Yeah, Carmella, randomly. Like, Carmella made
they played
the
up that Bayley was actually shocked because apparently Bayley and Carmella had a friendship.
She was
shocked that Carmella. But again, like you said, once you turn bad, now you're bad.
Right.
And those that are good are against you.
Yes, exactly. Nakamura and Zayn. Ali came out for his match. And then Zayn comes out and cuts the promo. And Nakamura comes out, and I actually really like this. He's like, no, this isn't a match. This is just an excuse for. This is an elaborate setup to a beatdown, and then they jump Ali and attack him. I kind of dug that, and I like that because Ali before King of the Rings the tournament started, Ali and Nakamura had that backstage segment that kind of was teasing the Intercontinental feud.
Yeah,
and it looks like we are finally getting back to that.
Ali better hope that he gets over quick. He's gonna get that Cedric.
Oh, Kevin Owens. Brought tickets, so and then Shane invited him into the ring and gave him a microphone. And Owens,
because isn't there a lawsuit?
Owens is suing Shane McMahon for wrongful termination for like $25 million. And special clause: if he wins the suit, he gets to fire Shane, because that's how all of our
court cases work.
I hate everything. I hate everything.
With it. Custody ladder match.
Yeah, no, not good.
A Judy Boy Bagwell on a pole.
Corbin coronation. Where he made a bunch of shitty short jokes to Chad Gable, and Gable laid his ass out, and I enjoyed that because
that's
I love
a feud
Chad.
I actually want to see as long as it's done well.
The match
on Raw was amazing.
Yeah, it was really good.
And then Eric Rowan, who got his first name back, did the sit down interview where he's like, no one ever gave me any credit. Everyone assumed I was just some mindless muscle, and I'm proving now that I am so much more than that.
No, we knew he was a genius.
He straight up acknowledged that, like, he's not speaking for Luke Harper. Like, if you want answers for why he came back at Clash of Champions, which, yes, you have to ask him. And then they obliterated Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns. At the end of the show, they tore up the arena. And it was awesome.
That's great.
Yeah, I love this. It's the Bludgeon Brothers, except without the stupid hammers.
Yeah, or those stupid outfits.
Yeah. The Reapers.
The Reapers are back, and it's amazing. And someone on Reddit pointed out, it's like, so, SmackDown ended with Luke Harper and Eric Rowan wrecking SmackDown. Raw included a segment with Strowman messing everybody up and ended with Bray Wyatt taking out Kane and Seth Rollins. Harper family strong.
Wyatt
family.
Also
Harper.
Harper family.
Both. And that's literally the only things that happened on SmackDown. Nothing else happened. No one else came out. No other announcements were made.
What happened?
Are you deaf? Nothing. I just said nothing else happened.
I feel like you're being sarcastic.
God, when you got choked out in that womb, you must have had some ear damage.
What the? Allie!
Your hearing's as screwed up as your teeth.
No! I'm done. I tapped out. I'm tapping out. Well, I'm tapping out.
Why, was there
out,
something
Dalton.
Else you wanted to talk about that happened on SmackDown?
I don't know. It sounded like there's something you wanted to talk about.
There's no, clearly
what
there's
the
not.
Hell happened on SmackDown? I need to know now.
Do you really not know?
I really
don't.
Really,
are you really just going to step on the bit like that?
I really don't know what it is.
Paul Heyman came out with Brock Lesnar and challenged Kofi
yeah.
to the WWE Championship match.
Oh, you're upset about that? I thought you'd be excited about that. Finally, some competition for Kofi.
I mean, he needs it, but like I know how they treat Brock Lesnar, and I'm not looking forward to that match.
I think Kofi's going to win. I really do.
I'd know.
You don't think so?
Roman Reigns is on SmackDown.
Shit, no!
So... Yeah, I mean, and granted, we still have the draft. The draft could still happen.
Whoop,
but
there it is.
But there's no way that Brock Lesnar is losing twice in a row, especially on his first television match since, like, 1973.
God. 2003. I would hate that this is how they end Kofi's reign is just on, I mean.
They ended Kevin Owens with Goldberg, so.
That's true. Damn. Well, we'll always have WrestleMania.
Yeah. He had a couple good matches.
It still may not even be my moment of the year. That's insane to me.
The year's still, there's still like 5-6 more months.
Oh, I genuinely don't think anything's gonna top the Fiend entrance that first time. Like that, I don't know. Like that struck such a chord with me. Like that's my winner right now.
That was pretty cool.
And you can
pay attention to all those at the end of the year awards.
Yeah.
That we do every year. Dalton, you said you had a 60-second review for Clash Champions. Go.
It was solid. I liked all the matches. Yeah.
All right, 3 seconds.
let's call it a night,
genuinely,
guys.
I would like to go in depth about Clash of Champions because I
didn't
watch
it.
But I did read some things. So I'd like to talk in depth about what happened. I actually have read nothing.
Yeah,
I know nothing other than Luke Harper came back, and I'm genuinely
that was exciting.
Excited. Although I still kind of feel bad for him in the sense that he basically said, I'm miserable, please let me go, and they said no. And I'm glad he's back on TV, and I'm glad he's with Rowan, and I think they've built a great angle for him.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder how much of him is thinking, oh, fuck this place, you know?
I mean, if at least they're using him, and that might have been some of the frustration of like, okay, I'm healthy.
Put me in, coach.
Can I do? Yeah, I'm ready to go. No. So maybe now that he's back and he's doing something, and seemingly something meaningful, granted, I think we all know that this is just going to be Rowan beats Harper, then Roman beats Harper, then Roman beats Rowan. And then who knows what they'll go on from there, maybe.
Although we know the tag match is coming.
Yeah, it'll be Roman Bryan and Daniel. And yeah,
that'll be fun.
It's going to be a great match.
I also really like that promo, too, that Daniel Bryan cut because, like, so he's kind of like slowly turning heel or he's slowly turning face just because, like, Rowan is starting to become the bigger heel.
Yeah.
But even when he's like, a lot of you people cheering me right now, literally weeks ago, accused me of attacking Roman Reigns, and now that we have proof beyond a shadow of a doubt I am innocent, you don't get to just cheer for me. Like, I've been absolved. And
That's the same shit Samoa Joe said.
I mean, yeah, but I like it.
It's just it also worked for him.
But it also makes sense.
Just change it enough so the teacher doesn't know I copy you.
Yeah, well, right answer's right answer.
Yeah, these people are fickle. They don't notice.
They really don't. All right, that's going to do it for us, mostly because we're hungry and I'm tired.
And my phone's at like 10%.
Dude, Allie.
What? Bruh.
Dude.
Bruh.
That's it for us tonight here on Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Asa, take us out.
Patreon.com/Podzilla1985. $1 gets you all of the pre-shows that we record. They tend to be a lot of fun. It's just us kind of shooting the breeze, and it's a good time, and it's a good way to help us actually support the show as we are looking into, you know, more gear to do certain different things. You know, if we can get headsets for everybody, that'll make doing like phone interviews easier, things like that.
Yeah, you don't want to know how we do it now.
Yeah, it's bad. Go to twitter.com/podzilla1985. Give us a follow. I try to post the episodes there as well as just random. And then right now, especially, no time has been more important than ever now, is facebook.com/podzilla1985.
Be unbiased.
You have until when does the
5:30 tomorrow?
5:30 p.m. Central Time.
Right before
Thursday,
we go live with After Dark.
Thursday, September 19th.
Yeah.
To vote who is the better singer in the band Blink-182, Mark Hoppus or Tom DeLonge, who of course is no longer in Blink-182, so he should automatically be disqualified. But you have the results, the last time I looked, Mark Hoppus is winning. History is winning.
Yes.
You're wrong because it's tied up again.
Is it tied up again?
Yeah.
It was 52-48 when I looked at it last time.
It is now, I think it's changed again. Yeah, it's changed again since the last time I looked. It's 51-49.
Who's winning?
Hoppus.
Okay. So he's lost some ground since I looked.
It's by one vote. This, you know what? All right. So in all honesty, yeah. I'm going to be genuine with you guys for a second. Mm-hmm. I thought this was going to be a landslide victory for Mark Hoppus. I really did.
I also kind of did.
I kind of did too. And I was hoping. Why.
The people that I'm messaging like, hey, who do you like? Because I'm texting people like, hey, who do you like better in Blink-182? Because then I'm telling them about the poll if they answer correctly.
If they answer correctly.
I've only gotten like two people to say that they like Mark Hoppus more. Which
see,
and don't get, like,
see, my theory is they don't actually know who's singing what. Because my coworker Elizabeth, who's also probably just doing this because she knows my side of it, was
Wow, fuck Tom DeLonge. Fuck everything he's ever been. She's only voting for him because it upsets me.
Well, no, it's also because of aliens. Was like making a comment. I was like, I don't think you know which one is Tom DeLonge now. And it's she never responded.
It's the one that sounds like dog shit when he sings.
Oh, wow. Okay, I didn't know this. I just looked this up. This may actually sway the voting. Turns out that Mark Hoppus burned down a bunch of churches. Good night, guys.